And this is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien with these headlines. Two Montana judges say there was corruption in the 2010 primary elections, and the state plans to use those rulings to defend its limits on campaign contributions. District Judge James Reynolds ruled Tuesday that former Senate candidate Wesley Prowse accepted $9,421 in illegal contributions from secretive conservative groups funded by the National Right to Work Committee. Reynolds' ruling is similar to one made in August by District Judge Gregory Pinsky, that former House candidate Joel Boniek accepted contributions from the same group. Both judges' rulings found corruption in which the candidates pledged loyalty to Right to Work's anti-union cause in exchange for the campaign help. Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell says state attorneys will present the rulings as evidence in a federal lawsuit seeking to strike down the state's contribution limits. For the first time, Montanans can now see state campaign contribution reports online as soon as they're filed. The first reports were filed Tuesday. Corin Cates Carney reports.
Commissioner for Political Practices Jonathan Modell says the most significant aspect of the quarterly campaign finance reports filed this week is the public's access to them.
We're in a new era of transparency in Montana, and this reporting period demonstrated that era.
Statewide candidates have filed online reports in the past, but Modell says this is the first time the content of those reports is immediately available to the public and searchable. This is also the first campaign season when non-statewide candidates are required to file finance reports. A list for campaign donors, donation amounts, information on campaign spending for statewide candidates is all online for public viewing now. You can find a link to those reports on our website, mtpr.org. The public will be able to see reports for all legislative candidates on May 3rd. That's 35 days before primary elections. On Tuesday night, a total of 20 of the 21 expected reports were filed on time. Unaffiliated gubernatorial candidate Casey Filler of Helena filed his report about a day late. In order for campaign transparency to work, Modell says people will have to learn how to navigate the electronic reporting system.
And that'll tell you something about that person, and it'll assist you in deciding who you want to vote for.
Some of the biggest money raised during this report cycle was by candidates for Governor Steve Bullock and Greg Gianforte. Republican Gianforte outraised the sitting Democratic governor by nearly $95,000. From October through the end of December, Bullock raised about $220,000. Gianforte raised about $315,000. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
The Two Rivers Jail in Hardin that had as many as 250 inmates at its peak of operations in the fall of 2014 is now in standby mode after its cells were emptied this week. The Billings Gazette reports the jail had no inmates as of Monday. The facility has struggled to find inmate contracts for revenue since the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs dropped its contract in October. Billings Clinic is expanding its presence in Bozeman with the purchase of 54 acres next to Interstate 90. The healthcare organization says its leaders have been engaging expansion opportunities in the Bozeman area for a number of years. Billings Clinic has had a presence in Bozeman initially with dialysis and currently with its OBGYN clinic. The Canadian company that proposed the Keystone XL oil pipeline has filed a lawsuit over the U.S. government's rejection of the project and says it plans a second legal challenge. TransCanada filed a federal suit in Houston alleging President Barack Obama's decision in November to kill the pipeline exceeded his power under the U.S. Constitution. The White House declined to comment on that lawsuit. Montana's Motor Vehicle Division announced yesterday it's rolling out newly designed driver's license and ID cards. Corin Cates Carney reports.
MVD Administrator Sarah Garcia says there was a problem of durability with the old cards, mainly having to do with how the cards were laminated.
But with this new card, there will be a completely new laminate and feel. It's a thinner feel to the card itself.
Along with more durable features, Garcia says the card will have new security features that will help reduce driver license fraud and identity theft. The background of the card is changing to an image of Lake McDonald and Glacier National Park, taken by a photographer with Travel Montana. The 2015 legislature appropriated $3.7 million to redesign the license cards and update three Driver's License Bureau computer platforms like online scheduling over the next 2 years. The new cards are now available in driver exam stations in Helena, Missoula, Superior, Great Falls, Shodo, and Fort Benton, and will be available in Bozeman and Billings later this week. The new cards will be in all exam stations throughout the state by the end of February. The old license cards are still valid, and drivers don't need to apply for updated cards until the current card's expiration. I'm Corin Keats-Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Environmental groups challenging the expansion of a southeastern Montana coal mine say state regulators have failed to address its effects on streams and aquifers. The State Department of Environmental Quality approved the 12 million ton expansion of the Rosebud Mine south of Colstrip last month. And Hedges with the Montana Environmental Information Center said yesterday that the mine already has impacted waterways. She says the proposed expansion would make those problems worse. Hedges Group and the Sierra Club have appealed the expansion with the State Board of Environmental Review. Rosebud is a strip mine operated by Colorado's Westmoreland Coal Company that provides fuel for the nearby Colstrip power plant. Westmoreland attorney Jeremy Cottrell said he anticipates no impacts on the mine's daily operations during a 9 to 12 month appeals process. The Fort Belknap Tribal Council voted unanimously to declare a state of emergency regarding methamphetamine and other drug use on the reservation. The Havre Daily News reports council members also voted Monday to set aside $150,000 to fund a program to address the problem. Council members heard from residents that families were being torn apart and people feared becoming crime victims. Council member Donald Archambault Sr. says there's been 10 drug-related deaths on the reservation since November. Charmaine Healy and Miranda Cresco Kirk said they hoped the declaration would bring in more resources to establish treatment and education programs. The Blackfeet tribe in northwestern Montana has voted to banish drug dealers from the reservation, while the Chippewa Cree tribe of the Rocky Boys Reservation is considering a similar move. The Missoula Valley's air quality hasn't been this dirty since 2013. A relatively rare Stage 2 air pollution warning was issued yesterday and is expected to persist through most of today. A Stage 2 warning essentially means pollution levels are exceeding recommended standards. City County Health Department air quality specialist Ben Schmidt says poor air quality in the Missoula Valley isn't unusual during El Nino years.
What that means basically is we have more stable air, which allows the valley floors to get pockets of cold, dense air. It takes a lot of energy to push that air out of the valley bottoms. And even if a weak system comes through, it may not provide the energy to move that air out. And of course, then all the pollution we generate down here on the valley floor stays here because the air is not moving.
Air quality is expected to fluctuate between unhealthy for sensitive groups and generally unhealthy through most of today. No visible emissions are allowed from any wood stoves or similar devices in the entire Missoula Valley during Stage 2 warnings. For the most up-to-date air pollution levels, visit Montana's Today's Air website. The Montana Supreme Court has upheld a Virginia man's conviction on 7 counts of attempted deliberate homicide for throwing pipe bombs out of his car window during a November 2012 law enforcement pursuit in north central Montana. The court Tuesday rejected Lawrence Allen Stewart's the second's argument that jurors should have been instructed that they could have convicted him on the lesser, included offense of misdemeanor assault. The court noted jurors were given the option of convicting Stewart of attempted aggravated assault, but they still convicted him of attempted deliberate homicide. Stewart was sentenced to life in prison on each count. Thank you very much for listening. For Montana Headline News, I'm Edward O'Brien.